when you're all being holy. I mustn't get very speck off.
This is a wee bit further down.
Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity once again to deliver your word to us, your people, Lord God, and just ask that your spirit be upon me and you direct us, you direct me, Lord, in what I have to say. Help us, Lord, to take on board, as Steph has said, what's being said, that it would be applicable to us all, Lord God, and that we wouldn't just overlook your word, but we would let it penetrate our hearts. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would give us a fresh anointing of your word today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. I've titled this The Great British Bake Off. Hopefully it'll become clear as I go through this. Today we're continuing to look at our talks at the holiness of God and how to approach God. And Taddy has done a great job, and Dave, in the last few weeks. We've been using the tabernacle, God's dwelling place on earth, as our example of how God introduced a way for man to come into his presence. Because if you imagine before this happened, God is up there and we are down here, and man had no real way of being able to sort of come into his presence where they would see God actually dwelling. Our series so far has introduced the outer courts of the tabernacle and its gate, the laver, the altar, and last week Taddy spoke about the priest. And I'm going to give a very simple pictorial view of this so that we can sort of get it into your heads of what we're looking at. So this is the overall tabernacle that would have been set up in the desert. And Israel did this. The 12 tribes all had a part to play. They all had a side to take, north, south, east, and west. 4 tribes each side would carry the particular parts of the tabernacle to set it up. And then there would be the outer court here. This is the sacrifice, the altar. This is the laver, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies is in here. These are the 4 sides. This is the gate, or the door, the entrance into it. And each week so far we've been looking at what each part represents and how we view that through God and ultimately through Jesus. So I spoke on the laver and how the priests had to be ceremonially cleansed before they touched any of the animals or offered a sacrifice. And then after that, covered in blood or whatever you like, they had to wash again. And this happened continually, and I said that they had OCD, was the way I viewed that. Then I wasn't here this week, but Dave, I was in the Sunday school, but Dave did the altar, that's spelt right. And, you know, this is where they offered up the animal sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma is how God would receive it. And the people would be coming to the tabernacle with their animals. There was 3 or 4 specific dates of the year that they would have a feast. Feast of Tabernacles was last week for all you people who know your feasts of the year. The Day of Atonement was last week. I think actually it might have been the day Taddy was preaching. And he preached on the priest last week. So the altar is where you offered the sacrifices. This was the priest that Taddy spoke on last week. And he studied the role of the priest and the symbolism that he represents. And as Taddy said, we could have studied this particular point for a few weeks at least. Taddy explained the responsibility of the priest and how he was the only one who could offer up the sacrifices to God. No one else had that responsibility. The Levi tribe, one of the 12 tribes, were set aside specifically to do the work of God. Their inheritance was in the Lord, and they would not receive any of the land that was subdivided up for Israel. There was only one day a year, like I said, where the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. And that was the Day of Atonement, when he offered a sacrifice for the whole nation of Israel. Taddy showed us that in all of this, that Jesus came down to break down the barrier and became the perfect sacrifice between man and God. That he was offered up on our behalf for our sin. And he was sacrificed, if you want symbolically to look at the altar we just seen a minute ago. Jesus was sacrificed. All the sacrifices that went before that were never good enough, would never have been enough to be good enough for God to accept. And when Jesus was offered up as a sacrifice for us on the cross, that was the only sacrifice that was ever going to be good enough. And when he did that, the veil in the temple was torn in two, and the separation between man and God was now taken away, and through Jesus man could now come to God. This week I'm speaking on the temple of the table of showbread. And this was located in the holy place, and I think I've got a slide just to sort of show you. So here we have the table. This is the showbread here, what I'm going to speak on. This is the candles, I think, is next week or the week after, maybe. And this is the golden altar. And these were in the holy place. And again, specific rules for each of them, specific meanings for each of them. And I'm going to draw on the showbread and the table this week. So as you know, I've been watching the Great British Bake Off. Well, you've all been in here praying for the mission. I've been sitting with the girls watching the Great British Bake Off. That's not true. Pick them up from CB on Wednesday, I run them all about, and then it's recorded when we come home and we watch it. And the girls love it. And Hannah, or Rachel specifically, she is just so into wanting to know how they bake the bread and how they make the decorations. And, you know, she loves there's a guy on it from Northern Ireland at the minute, from Hollywood, called Andrew. And Rachel just thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, mind the pun. And she just, you know, she's so into it, and Hannah. And they love watching them make the ingredients and make the dough and put it all together. The art of producing something that looks great but also tastes fantastic. And that is the importance of the show. The importance of making good dough, and I know there's a few bakers in here. The importance of making good dough and perfect bread cannot be overstated. It is not as easy as it looks. And without it, most cooking would be disastrous. And I know Gary's a baker and probably knows to make bread much better than the rest of us, but I am not a baker on any level, and I would never claim to be. And last week, the guy Andrew, just to give you an update, the guy Andrew last week, he was making his presentation for his cooking bit, and his dough flopped. It was all nutty and everything, and he had to throw it out and start again. And then the bread that he made after that was fantastic. Hopefully this will become clear as we hit the end of this talk. This week we're looking at the bake-off in a different light, where presentation is as important as the taste. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 25, verses 23 to 30, and it's just an overview of what I've said really about the table and the bread, and it's just gives you the specifics of it, and I'll explain it in a wee minute. You shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a moulding of gold all around. You shall make for it a frame of hand breadth all around, and you shall make a gold moulding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are at the legs of the 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. And out of everything I've read in those verses, it's the very last verse that I'm going to be concentrating on most. So, like I've said, in the tabernacle, in the holy place where certain objects are located, the priest would view them when he came in. He would view the candlestick, which I've pointed out. He would view the showbread there and the golden altar here. Looking today at the table of showbread, upon it are 12 loaves of bread, which are thought, and which we know, to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Incidentally, the number 12 represents totality, wholeness, and the completion of God's purpose. The table of showbread was a small table. It's about 3 foot by 1.5 foot by 2 foot and a bit inches. That's the size of the table. It's not very high off. Probably something like that table there, only a wee bit shorter. And of course, the specific way it had to be made, it was plated with gold. It was a very important piece of furniture within this holy area. The priests baked the bread for the show table. They had the responsibility of making it with fine flour, and it remained on the table for one whole week, a whole week, in the presence of the Lord. And then every Sabbath, the priest would be allowed to eat the bread that was there, and then they would replace it with fresh bread, which would be brought in to be put before the Lord again for the next week. We're told it is the Kohathites, or the Gothites, who are the sons of Levi, who had the responsibility for the care of the table of showbread. Only priests could eat the bread, and it could only be eaten in the holy place because it was holy. And the other thing about this is that it's not just so much that it's there as a showbread and it's holy, but it was also called the bread of the presence because it was always in God's presence. The table and the bread were a picture of God's willingness to fellowship and commune literally with man. It's okay, I thought you were laughing. It was like an invitation to share a meal, an extension of friendship. God wanted to dwell and to commune and to fellowship with man, and this was the way that it was being set up. God was willing for man to enter into his presence, to fellowship with him, and this invitation is always open. The showbread to the religious leaders was very important, and the duties and the roles of each symbol were taken with real importance. The thought that any part of this ceremony or any part of it connected to it could be mishandled, done without reverence, would be an insult and would receive a severe punishment if you wanted in that case, because the priests wouldn't be happy about it. They would be really annoyed if anybody else came in and did what they shouldn't have done. It was for the priests and the priests alone. Now, the reason I'm preaching that point so far, because I want you to understand how religious this was, how ceremonial this was, how important it was that the priest had his role, he did his job, no one else could do that. No one else could touch the priest's bread. No one else could come into that place. That is how important it was taken. I'm going to read you, first of all, a part out of the New Testament, and then I'm going to refer to a part in the Old Testament, and it's about the showbread. Jesus speaking said this, At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Jesus replied, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to eat, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are innocent? But I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. Oh, if only you had known the meaning of 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Now what Jesus is saying here is that there was an occasion when King David was on the run from King, or sorry, when David, not yet a king, was on the run from King Saul. King Saul knew that that David was going to be made king, was going to replace him. He wanted him killed. And David was on the run with a few other men. And David enters into the place where the tabernacle of God is, and he enters into it. And the first point to note is whenever David is on the run from Saul, he enters the tabernacle of God. This is the safest dwelling place you could have went to, a place of refuge when you're in trouble. And whenever David comes into the tabernacle, sorry, it was the temple at this time, whenever he comes into the temple, or the tabernacle, he comes up to the priest at that time, Amalek. And he comes to the priest, and the very interesting thing about David is that he tells the priest a lie. I'm not going to go into that as such, but he tells the priest a lie, saying that he is on king's orders to do a specific task, and that he is hungry, and he comes in and asks Amalek, the priest, for some food, for bread. He doesn't have any other bread. The only bread that he has is the showbread. And David is very hungry. He is tired. He has been hunted by King Saul. And of course, the priest does not know this. And the priest offers him the bread. David was not a priest. He technically should not have been allowed to handle it or even eat it. But he did. And Jesus is referring to what has happened with David when he enters the tabernacle and talks to the priest. And what he is saying, and what Jesus is saying is that what King David done was not lawful. He should not have been eating the showbread that was in the temple with the priest. But he was given it to show, to sustain him, because he was hungry and tired. And this would have broken many of the laws. But in it we see something truly amazing. David was shown mercy when he received the bread from the priest. And indeed we read this, and I said it a minute ago. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The Son of David taught from this that mercy is to be preferred above sacrifice. That ritual observances must give way to show grace. What good is it to offer up sacrifices to God if you have no mercy and no grace and no love in your heart? All of this ceremonial religious stuff that we're seeing would mean nothing if you did not show grace and mercy. And when David entered into the tabernacle, into that place and received the bread, he was being shown grace and mercy. Of course, the whole idea of bread set up in the tabernacle indicates that God wants two main things that are represented here. He wants to offer to eat with us, and he wants to invite us into fellowship with him, the sign of which is to eat together. To see this more clearly, and to look at Jesus in the weeks, and Taddy has been really good at doing this. Taddy has been really good at looking at the tabernacle and drawing in Jesus each time. And I have to be saying, I'm a bit of a copycat. I'm using this format a bit each week because I can see the real benefit of doing this. And so when we look at the tabernacle, we again can see Jesus in the whole pattern of what is taking place. Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But there is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. In this, Jesus is drawing again from what the Jewish people would have known and practiced. The temple, the ceremonies, they would have known about the bread in the temple, and they would have been listen to what Jesus was saying and proclaiming. The showbread, as we see in the tabernacle, would have been in the same format as in the temple when Jesus is speaking. Remember, the tabernacle was first, then we had the first temple, and then we had the second temple. And so what is happening is Jesus is drawing to what is happening in the temple practices. Jesus says this, while in the wilderness, God provided manna for the children of Israel. And all it was food to provided by God to sustain them and to satisfy their hunger. That was it. But Jesus declares that far superior to any of the breads that you've ever received was the bread that would come down from heaven. And this is a powerful claim because in it Jesus declares that he was in heaven, that he is God, and that he now dwells on earth with man. This would have sent the religious leaders and people of the day's head spinning because they do not understand how God can come to earth, become man, dwell amongst them, and the Jewish thought there was no place for this. Then Jesus declares that anybody that eats of his bread will never die. What is he saying, and how can we possibly eat of him? Jesus says, this is found in Matthew, while they were eating, this is the Last Supper, Jesus with the 12 disciples, and hopefully I'll be able to tie this again in a wee minute. Jesus and the 12 disciples are having the Last Supper. Jesus takes bread and says, give thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. What did we do this morning in here? We took the bread and wine symbolically, the bread, the body that is broken represents Jesus' body. The bread that is broken represents Jesus' body, and the juice of the wine represents Jesus' blood spilled for us, the body broken for us. Jesus' body broken is our only access to have fellowship with God. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper, our communion, to remember this important truth. And today, as in the day of Moses' tabernacle, God still desires to have fellowship, to sit down with his people and to feast with them. And when we're in here this morning and we're worshipping and praising and taking these symbols, we are doing exactly what we are preaching. We are people who are doing what we preach. And the connections between the bread of presence that we talk about in the tabernacle and Jesus' actions at the Last Supper are intricately linked, symbolically linked. Just as at the bread of the presence there are 12 tribes being represented by the 12 loaves, at Jesus' Last Supper he sits and celebrates with the 12 disciples. Jesus is using the imagery of the showbread alongside the wine to show the disciples that he is the new covenant and that his body broken and that his blood spilt shows and demonstrates this. Taking it further, Jesus said and shows that he is the bread of presence always before the Lord. And the connections between these two are very strong. And Jesus continues to show how it is that the old covenant has now passed and that in this Jesus is the new covenant and he is the new beginning. Jesus wants to show and have fellowship with us today, and he wants to make it possible, but only through the symbols and what he has done for us. So God so desires that our fellowship with him, that he is willing to come from heaven to earth, become the bread of life, and to give eternal life to all those who will partake in it. When we commune together or in our fellowship with God, we are feeding off Jesus. And I don't mean we're cannibals, as John Kelly once told us about. You know, we're not cannibals. But what we're doing is we're taking the representative symbols and aligning ourselves with Jesus through this. We're not only in fellowship with God, but with the Trinity, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we are communing with God like this, we are communing with each other in the same way. For there can be no true fellowship with each other unless we first have true fellowship with God. And when we look at the Great British Bake Off, we see the efforts and the skills that are going in to try and make the perfect cake. Let's check some more. They try and make the perfect cake. They use all the right ingredients in the Great British Bake Off. They have all the perfect timing. But sometimes things go badly wrong. Sometimes things flop. Sometimes the cake comes out of the oven, doesn't look like it should have. And whenever they open up the cake and go and taste it, they nearly spit it out because it tastes so bad. The disappointment when your cake is the worst and you leave the show. Sometimes we view ourselves as not being worthy enough to sit before God, that the sin in our life weighs us down. We're trying to become the perfect bread. We're trying to come into God's presence as holy as possible, trying to be the best cake that's ever been made, trying to be the best bread. I can remember first coming to Shiloh after and being saved and thinking that I am so unworthy to be sitting in here with these people who are all so holy. And there were some really holy people back in the day. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, no, I don't deserve to be here. I don't understand what they're talking about. I've done so many bad things. Everything's going wrong. You felt like the worst piece of bread when you're sitting in the seats. But we want to try and represent ourselves as the showbread. We want to try and be the perfect loaf of bread before God. And we want to be acceptable while approaching him. If we view the 12 loaves of bread as being the 12 tribes of Israel before God, we see the covenant, the old covenant, that is still with Israel. When we look at the 12 disciples and the Last Supper, we see the new covenant that Jesus instituted through the blood and the wine, through the bread and the wine. If we view the bread in God's presence as us, the people of God, then we see very clearly that as believers in Jesus, we will always be presentable and always be acceptable in God's sight. You see, we are always in his presence. And we will one day be in his eternal presence for all eternity. We are the bread that will never go moldy. We are the bread that will never go out of date. We are the bread that can never have a sell-by date. We are the bread that was purchased by the blood of Jesus, and therefore we will be one day with him. Jesus wants to come down and to fellowship with us. And we are men and women of honor this morning. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 25 years or 25 minutes. Your position this morning before a holy God, and all that's been said, is that you are men and women of honor and that you have the best seats in the house. We are a very privileged people this morning to sit here. We are all showbread in a particular manner and fashion. And we have been made complete in Jesus. We are contained within God's perfect plan. And one day we will sit for eternity with him. Yeah, and all that I've tried to show in the showbread this morning is that we are forever in the presence of the Lord. I know we're here on the earth at the minute, but we were always with God. When we go to be with him for eternity, we will be a showbread in the presence of God for all eternity. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning for what you've shown us, Lord God, and that it doesn't matter if we consider ourselves a crumb of bread or the best loaf of bread that money could buy. No matter how we view ourselves, Lord God, as Christians and believers, we are viewed as being perfected in you, Lord God, and we will stand in your presence and give you glory and honor. Lord, you have perfected us through the Son, Jesus, who died for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you've shown us. The body broken and the blood spilled. And the perfect sacrifice that Jesus was when he was offered up to you. And the only sacrifice that was accepted as being the one true sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for that. And the truths and the simplistic truths, Lord, that are coming through in the tabernacle as we view it. And I ask you, Lord God, to bless us this morning as we leave here. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged by what we've heard. And be able to, Lord, really start to understand the patterns that you set out in the tabernacle. And help us, Lord, to be encouraged and enthused to want to continue reading your word and learning your word. In Jesus' name, amen.